Well, thank you, Stena, for the introduction, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Inji. I'm a PhD student at the University of Minnesota, studying the turf breeding and genetics with Dr. Eric Watkins. So today, I'd like to share some of our research on the plant and fungicide interaction using hard fescue and triazolic fungicide. To start with, when we stain the plant material with chemicals and look them under the microscope, we can see those beautiful microorganisms living in the plant. Those are endophytes. And those endophytes spend half of their life cycle inside the plants. In the meantime, they're able to produce compounds that has anti-cancer, antifungal, antibacterial, insecticidal activities. So when we look specific to the grass, epichloic endophytes, that is quite popular in the grass because they can form a lot of symbiotic association with the broad spectrum grasses. It has been used to improve the plant growth, drought tolerance, and some pest resistance. Those epichloic endophytes maternally inherited and persisted in the grass species. Because of those great importance, the endophyte might contribute to the plant physiology and other performances. There are so many studies has been carried out to understand what part of the endophyte and how actually can benefit the plant. So like this study pointed out here, they identified the antifungal protein that produced by the epichloic endophyte that can suppress the daughter spot pathogen. When we look closer to the plant material using study, so even though it has been passed on for so many years, but initially it is the endophyte-free plant that being introduced with the endophyte. So at the time, the introduction of the endophyte might cause some cell metabolism reprogramming, and those changes might hurt it from generation to the other generation. In addition, we look for more literature. Endophytes could also, this paper shows that endophyte could also suppress the daughter spot disease in the fine fescues. But in this study, the E+, which is endophyte infected plants and endophyte free plants, they have different genotypes. Some of those plants are from different crosses. And when we look at how the endophyte is going to contribute the insect resistance, this study used the propiconazole fungicide to remove the endophyte that is existing in the plants. So they could create an endophyte-free population to study this interaction. There also study shows endophyte could could make the grass more vulnerable to the pathogen like snow mold. However, in this paper, they did not really disclose how they create the endophyte-free population. So this shows us the question, what is the best way to look at the interaction between grass and endophytes? So after we browse through a lot of literature, we realized the propiconazole fungicide is the most widely used fungicide to kill the endophytes in the grass to study those symbiotic interaction. Propiconazole is a systematic foliar fungicide with a broad range of activities, and they target demethylation of C14 cytochrome P51 during the agarostral biosynthesis. Basically, it can slow down the cell wall formation of the fungus and even can stop it. There are also some other fungicides with a similar mode of action, such as the tetraconazole. So look further, why this is important. So C14 demethylase itself is pretty conserved across animals, fungi, and plants. When we use a fungus cytochrome P51 gene sequence to blast with the database, we see around 65% similarity hits to the Arabidopsis, Brassica napus, and Brachypodium. And there are also studies shows that propiconazole could increase the drought tolerance of the cowpea by increasing its antioxidant activities. So we ask the question, will the propiconazole fungicide also target the turf cytochrome P51 gene, which leads to our study objective, how will the fungicide application affect the plant disease resistance? So to study this object, we picked the SBHD15, which is the U of M breeding material, and it's a hard fescue. We first look at the fine fescue or the hard fescue under the microscope to make sure there's no fungal endophytes. In addition, we also use the PCR protocol, use a primer that target specifically to the elongation factor of the endophyte to double check, make sure there is no endophyte. So at the end of this procedure, we pick one single plant and we vegetatively propagate it into 150 plants for our treatment and control groups. So this part, just keep in mind that all those plants, they have the same genotypes and they all don't have endophytes. The whole study is carried out using the RNA sequencing. We're high-seq 4,150 base pair in sequencing with 30 million reads per sample. So definitely sampling point gotta be important. So throughout this study, we applied 5 fungicide applications in total with 1 week interval. To start with, let's see, where's the mouse? Oh, here. Okay. To start with, those plants are all the same. The upper one is used for the fungicide treatment, and the lower panel is for the water spread, which is served as a control. So we take plant samples from the time point, the first time point here. And after the second fungicide application, we also take plant samples. And then we further take samples after the plants recovered from the fungicide application for 4 months. And finally, to evaluate the disease resistance after fungicide treatment, we use the snow mold, pink snow mold, Mycodochium navel to inoculate the plant to evaluate the change in the plant. So after the second application, as we can see, there is no big differences across the water-treated and fungicide-treated plants, except for the fungicide-treated plants, they have slightly darker green color. After the fifth application, as we can see, the water spray plant, they look pretty healthy. The fungicide spray plant, there are lots of dead tissues. The old tissue that has a really dark green color, and we do see new tillers coming out, but also at the same time, those new tillers have the dwarf morphology. They just remain really short. We take those new tillers out and transplant them into the soil and let them recover. So after 4 months, they look like normal. And at that time, we asked the question, so they look like normal, do they actually active the same in the same way when they face abiotic or biotic stress? So here comes our snow mold inoculation study just to evaluate the defense across two different groups if they have changed. Surprisingly, after 14 days of inoculation, as you can see, the water-treated plant, they have a lot of mycelium growing on the tillers. Meanwhile, the fungicide-spreading plant, there are just like little tiny infections going on. And the mold, the control group plants, they all look clean. So after we quantify the mycelium growth on the plant, there is a significant difference across two different groups. And as we can see here, the fungicide-spreading plant, they have a significant slower mycelium growth compared to the water-spreading plants. So we ask the question, what has changed over time? At this time point, I will just focus on what the fungicide has done to the plant at the second time point. So after we plot out all those differentially expressed genes, those red dots were at a significant level. So as you can see, there is not a lot of different genes that changed dramatically. However, after we cluster those significant change genes into groups, we realized the fungicide treatment triggers more different pathogen defense-related gene expression in the plant. When we look closer to individual gene expression, I will just pick out 4 of them here to demonstrate as an example. The first one is the cytochrome P51, which is the gene that we proposed. Its activity has been suppressed by the fungicide application. Cytochrome P51 and the whole categories has a lot of things to do with the antimicrobial substance biosynthesis, which can be associated with the disease resistance. Another example is the diacylglycerol kinases, which has a lot of things to do with the lipid biosynthesis. It could interfere the lipid biosynthesis, and lipid biosynthesis has a lot of things to do with the plant defense because it's a main signaling pathway. We do see the Nudex hydrolysis has been suppressed by the fungicide. Nudex hydrolysis is the negative regulator of the plant defense. So basically, after the fungus infection, the plant will have less inhibitors to suppress its defense. The last one I'm going to point out here is serine threonine protein kinase, which is also quite important in the plant defense signaling pathway. And it has been activated by the fungicide. So I have displayed some results about the gene expression data. And our postdoc, Dominic Petrilla, has also used untargeted HPLC method to look at the metabolites profile across two different groups. We're trying to figure out if there are any fingerprints that could help us to explain what has changed after the fungus application and the plant defend themselves in a different way. And also we're hoping that we could find some candidate compound that could further help us to understand what's going on. So throughout this study, we have demonstrated that the probiconazole fungicide suppress the plant growth during the fungicide application. And this fungicide itself has affected the plant defense in both abiotic and biotic signaling pathway. And those plants that receive probiconazole fungicide application has a faster and stronger defense against the pathogen Mycodochium navale. And this just lead us to think for the future study in the plant-microbe interaction, we're going to take extra attention in the control to make sure we're going to exclude those fungicide effect in the downstream interpretation of the endophyte benefit to the plant. Future direction, we're going to keep looking into the metabolites profile, and we have also done RNA sequencing on the snow mold infection part to figure out what gene has exchanged, what is the mechanism, why those fungicide spray plant has a stronger disease resistance. With that, I'd like to thank my committee members, Dr. Adrian Hickman, Angela Orshinsky, Corey Hirsch, and my advisor, Dr. Everett Watkins, and also our turf grass research group and Minnesota Supercomputing Institute. I'd also like to thank Dr. Paul Koch from Wisconsin-Madison to provide us the snow mold isolate. And this research is funded by the USDA Specialty Crop Research Initiative. And here's some reference that I cited. With that, I'd like to conclude my presentation, and I'll be happy to take any questions you have. Yes, Leah. Yeah, theoretically, inside the plant, the fungicide effect should disappear within 30 to 45 45 days. I'm sorry. In soil, it might last longer. So we did transplant those plants into new soil, so the fungicide itself should not be in the plant anymore. But so far, it's the 5th month, but still there is a significant impact by the fungicide. Well, not necessarily. I guess depends on each individual study how they control their plant and when they did the downstream study. This just threw out the idea that fungicide might cause downstream interference.
Okay. Let's thank our speaker.